I think there are two kinds of animation, aren't there? There's the first thing any student does, or you draw as a kid in your school book, in the math book or something, you animate little figures in the bottom and you change, tend to change one thing into another, isn't it? You morph from, I mean, or any student film, they have a tree turn into a frog, into a woman, into a car, into an airplane, into whatever. All animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes, and then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes. 72 minutes if the kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
Back everyone to Acme Podcast Incorporated. It's been a minute. I'm your host, Kaiji Rumperer.
And I'm Jankerton, aka Janky, aka whatever variation you want to call me.
AKA J. Jonah Jankerton.
J. Jonah Jankerton. I need pictures of that Spider-Man. I need pictures of that individual, what man are we talking about?
The better man.
I need pictures of better man. That kind of does happen a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. That's today's main topic is a, would I call it an obscure anime? Probably. Like,
obscure in the old-fashioned sense of, like, Necronomicon obscure, not like, oh, I never heard, it's a neat little, like, random right. old tune. Like, no, this is hidden, locked away information for a reason.
Yeah, and the only reason people might know about it is because of its connection to Gal Gaigar.
Which boggles me. It still boggles me, just like, these are from the same person, or same studio. Like, actually, yeah, same person, same studio, mostly same animation team, and yet this is like such a far cry of a show.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. Before we actually get into the show, first of all, hi, it's been a minute. We unintentionally took a break because of various reasons, but now we're gonna try and get back into the swing of things. Hopefully this will be regular again. To be fair though, Laser and I usually did take like a couple months off around New Year's every year when he was still the host with me, so not that weird, I guess.
Glad I'm keeping the tradition alive unintentionally.
Yeah, we just did it unintentionally. So what have you been up to, Jank? Anything interesting?
Anything interesting since these last couple of months? Well, you see, I finished a bunch of other, and by other, I mean two other mech shows with the letter B in them. That being, the first one is a little more recent of a show. Fuck it, let me make sure I said this right. Bang Brave, Bang Braver. And there we go, I said it fucking perfectly. Awesome, cool.
What a name.
Bang Brave, Bang Braver, or Bang Bang Brave. There's two alternate pronunciations for the show. It's crazy. But yeah, Bravern, good show. Question mark? Because
I mean, it's a fun concept. It's like, what if a super robot from like a Brave series showed up in a real robot show?
Like, yeah, pretty much. It's like that. Like, that's a good concept. It's pretty fucking gay. It's a pretty fucking gay show. I'm not like it. The show it, like. That's sort of, I don't want to call it the elephant in the room, that's like sort of the other reason people are watching it, why it's the big talk of the town is that, oh, that and also everyone's favorite mech person slash occasional, what's the word, gravure artist, Masami Obari is back at it again doing his thing of making good robot stuff, and it's actually good robot stuff.
And making bad human designs, but, you know.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato to Angel Blade,
whatever.
I remember looking at this show and being like, seeing Bravern and be like, that's just X-Kaiser.
That's
I mean, it's for obvious reasons because Obari designed X-Kaiser.
Yeah,
but,
I think it's yeah. it's Cygames, the aka the Grand Blue Fantasy guys, knew what they were doing when they told them, hey, we need you to make a mech design that is simultaneously like generic but also its own thing, and he just fucking did it.
Yeah, I'm gonna reference all of my other robots and the original Brave, which is X-Kaiser.
OG the GOAT. And yeah, since this show is a much more like it's much more recent, so I'm gonna be a little vague with just what happens, but it's nice. I liked aspects of it. It has some really good emotional payoffs early. This is more just a warning to those who are watching it. There is one really, really dumb, uncool kind of plot line that I don't really like. Every time they talk, like they add on to it, it just gets kind of worse and worse. It's kind of like it turns the show from like an 8 into like a 7, a good 8.5, like a good 8.5 to like a 7 to me. That's like that sounds really egregious. It is to me. It's vague. I'm not gonna say what it is. I'm just gonna say that like, don't get your hopes up for the Bravern. For you see, Bravern is not a better man either. You know what is a better man though? The other B show I watched that I finished recently, did I tell you? Did I tell you about Boskosh?
Boskosh?
Boskosh! Oh, God. Okay.
Robot basketball, baby.
Bigfoot basketball, baby. It's... Okay. So Boskosh is a mech anime from 2008, 2007-ish. The big selling point is it was, like, sort of like not directed, but like I guess artistic influences, and I guess creative designers for it were one Shoji Kawamori of Macross fame and Thomas Romain of Oban Star Racers and Code Lyoko. They collaborated along with Satellite Studios and some various other people, like other writers and stuff, to make a 26 episode basketball mech show, and it is, in my opinion, just like Inazuma 11 is to soccer, but for basketball, of like stupid shit. This makes no sense. It's not how basketball works. And technically, they're right because it's not basketball. It's Boskosh. Oh god, that title has so much fucking meaning. It's insane. Everything in society quite literally revolves around basketball, Yu-Gi-Oh style. Like,
What did you call it? A hobby Annie?
It's a hobby. It's pretty much a hobby Annie. Yeah, it's a hobby Annie, except it's like about the hobby is basketball, but then it's like here's super cool, fucked up, awesome basketball where the name of the game isn't even getting a fucking like isn't even dunking. It's just hey, here's how cool I can throw the ball, or here's how much fucking property damage I can do because of how much I fucking love basketball. That's Boskosh.
It's just like Kuroko for real.
It's insane. The character roster is kind of fucking wild. I think there's actually a reference, like I watched it with a friend of mine who is a much bigger fan of like Shoji Kawamori and like Macross, like that sort of big media entity. And there's a lot of reference, not like references as like, oh yeah, character names and stuff, more like plot line things that sound like other things. So I think it's more of Shoji Kawamori featuring Thomas Romain from Oban Star Racers and all that. Because some of the character designs in it are very, like... The only word I can think is just French. Like, this looks like a... No, I mean, like... that kind of art style where it's like...
Wakfu?
Yeah, Wakfu. Like, anime-inspired, but, like, French. Like...
Anime-inspired, but French, yeah.
And then there's some fucking... And then the names, too, are, like, some fucking Gundam-ass names. Because you got your main character, Dan JD. Those aren't initials. His last name is the letters J and D capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a sister who does not have a last name. It's just a regular name. Did I already tell you about the guy who looks like fucking discount Satoru Gojo?
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
Did I tell you what his name was already? Fucking
Yeah, I remember.
yeah, motherfucking Iceman Hottie.
Listen, you say they're Gundam levels, but I don't know, man. It's kind of hard to compete with Quattro Pagina.
Or bring Stabity.
No, or fucking what was his name from Unicorn? Full Frontal?
Okay, see, that's fucking bad because I remember being in high school and saying, like, guys, have you ever heard Full Frontal? I was like, I got weird looks at people. I did not know what
And
that
then
meant. I was.
there's a guy in fucking I forget which one it was, but his name is South Burning.
From fucking Stardust Memory. I remember. He looks
Yeah.
like fucking old dried up like Geese Howard.
And then there's a guy in G Reco called Azuccini Nincini.
You're fucking with me. That's
No, I'm not.
just gibberish.
Or fucking me Meme Midgar.
That's yeah, okay. That's from Turn A, yeah. That's from Turn A, I think.
Oh God, there's some other ones that I'm like forgetting.
God.
Just like the dumbest fucking from like especially Double Zeta, like characters like Bicha Oleg and
Beecher Oleg, maybe
Maj.
it's just because the fact that I've also been watching a little bit of that, like, very slowly, but Beecher Oleg sounds normal compared to fucking Meme Midgard and fucking, I don't know, whatever you just said.
How about Mashmir
Okay, hey, don't mess with Mashmircello. He's cool. I relate to him in
Shello?
ways.
Or a Taraja Taraja.
I didn't get to that. Now you're fucking me again.
And then there's the guy from Double Zeta named Mr. Bushido.
That's from Double O.
Not
Double
Double
O, Double
Zeta,
O. Double,
Double
turn,
O.
turn.
Double
Or,
O.
oh. Is it Double O? It's Double O.
It, yeah, it's Double O. The other double show. Not to be confused with W, which is Wing.
I think mechs are stupid, actually. I was gonna say, like,
I.
back. I was
Yeah.
gonna say, like, oh yeah, Bascotch is kind of a dumb mech. It's like, no, they're all kind of dumb.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Like, fucking the main attack of Gao Gaigar, he shouts a bunch of Latin at you, and it's called Hell and Heaven.
Yeah. He does hit you with a
Vienna
big.
Robot shows are
He does
dumb.
hit you with a big fucking hammer, and the hammer. It hits you so hard you turn into fucking light. How does that work? I don't know.
Gorgonon Hammer!
It's supposed to be a more technical show. Like, oh yeah, here's a more scientific technical show. Bull fucking crap. How does Dividing Driver work?
It's well, actually Dividing Driver makes sense. What it is that it creates like a gravitational field that's able to bend gravity can bend space.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like black holes are so their gravity is so intense they literally bend the space around them.
So it's a
So
it's
the
a
dividing drivers it's just, it creates a gravitational field that's able to bend space and create like a pocket of space that didn't originally exist.
We'll put, I'm putting a no on that because I'm realizing that like Gygar seems also kind of stupid, but also like no wait there's some shit. It's bullshit, but it's like I can I like there was thought behind it, which
Yeah.
may maybe this will maybe these are the same creators.
And fucking my favorite Gal Gaigar attack isn't even his main move. It's the rocket punch called Broken Magnum.
Is there a science behind why it's called Broken Magnum?
No, it just sounds cool.
Yeah, okay. Fair, yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
It's literally just he spins the fist and then shoots it out like a rocket bunch and that's it. It's just called Broken Magnum. It's just cool sounding.
Yeah, fuck, wait, maybe, yeah, I think these are the same show, actually. Shit. I think but I yeah, fuck. But yeah, mech show's silly. That's what I've been watching. I just sort of been watching a bunch of mech things. There are other
Yeah.
shows, but I've not like gotten anywhere with them. I'm just trying to watch a lot of mech content. I'm surprised that of the things I've watched, the only one I fucking finished was fucking Better Man. Which funnily enough, celebrated its 25th anniversary, I think, last week.
Whack.
25 years. Wow, that's let's just not delve into that for
Listen,
fear of what we were like 25 years ago.
I don't want to think about it, but
I couldn't think about it.
yeah, you didn't exist.
Damn.
But anyway, that it for you, or?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing is just enjoying mech shows.
Yeah, the only things that I think I want to talk about are, I mean, obviously, since we last recorded, Dungeon Meshi has come out, and Dungeon Meshi is good. I don't need to tell you that.
It's so awesome. Season 2 is starting, right?
Sometime, I don't know when, but we're gonna get Core 2 at some point. I didn't think we'd get a Core 2 so soon. I honestly thought we were gonna end, and we were gonna wait a while before the next thing happens. So I'm glad we're getting there, especially since the manga ended, you know. I finished the manga like a few months back, so before the anime came
I
out.
should reveal my hand and say that despite loving our lovable, amazing dwarf Senshi, I have not read or watched Lick of Dungeon Meshi. I know I should. I will. It's just sort of. I think it's just because it's like it's done. It's like, oh well, I want to like be able to just sort of go through all of this, but the adaptation looks so fucking good, and
It is.
I know it doesn't really like adaptations are supposed to be like just adverts to the end for the main thing, which is the manga, but I don't know where to start. I don't know which one to do. What do you
I
recommend?
mean, honestly, I would say they both have their merits. Do both, because there's gonna be stuff that's just not gonna be in the anime, like a lot of the side content, like the little four comas and like side comics that are about characters that we don't see and what they're up to when the main characters are doing things. That stuff's just not going to be in the anime, so it's worth it just for that alone. Also, Ryoko Kui's art, you know.
True, true, true.
And then I don't need to tell you that Mashle is good, because season two of Mashle also started since the last time we recorded.
Bim bum
That
bum bum
ended pretty
bum bum
recently,
bum bum
actually.
bum bum bim bum bum
Bing bum bum bing bum bum
from
bum.
from.
The year has only started, and that's the best anime opening of the year.
Hey, I'm sure Creepy Nuts will make another banger.
I mean, they've made several, to be fair. Like, I think my favorite thing that someone has ever said about Bring Bang Bomb Bon Born is that, man, that song fucks, but it's still the worst Creepy Nuts song. That tells you everything you
I
need to know
can't
about
believe
what
that's
Creepy
actually what
Nuts
it's.
are.
I was like, are you having a stroke right now? It's like that's what it's called. That is what it's called. That is.
Yeah, Bring Bang Bomb Born, I think, is the name of the song.
I mean, we're no better. We're talking about a show called Better Man. That's just. It is what is on the tin.
Yeah, fucking.
No.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, don't. Yeah.
No subtitle or anything, actually. That's kind of interesting.
Then the other thing was the two main things that I kind of want to talk about are, there's a manga, by God, I forget the name of the author. Hold on, because I know the artist, but I don't remember the name of the author. Yeah. The art There's a manga by the same artist who does Kengan and How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift. Sendorovich Yabako is doing a manga with Mam, who also wrote How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift. And this one is, apparently, it takes place in the Kengan universe, actually, which is fun.
Ooh.
And it's called Star Strike It Rich. And it is about women's fighting, which is like my main problem with Kengan, is that it's a fight manga, but there's not any women in it that
I
fight.
was gonna say, like, there are women in Kengan. I've just seen dudes beat the shit out of each other and get kind of gay.
Oh no, there are women in it, it's just that they're not fighters.
Man. It's the Baki problem.
And Star Strike It Rich is the exact opposite problem, where it's only women fighting. And the other thing I like about it is a lot like Kengan, is that Sendorovich Yabako is not afraid to draw women being absolutely unhinged, being super muscular, and also beating the absolute shit out of each other. And that's what I'm here for. I want unhinged women, I want buff women, and I want women beating the ever living shit out of each other. Like in the most recent chapter, one of the girls is fighting this character who does full contact karate, and the reason that she's so dangerous is because she's a masochist.
Oh.
Like, she gets off on.
Okay. Oh, we really are doing all fucking all four all cylinders for fighting people archetypes.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure everyone has some fucked up superpowers about everything. There's some person with probably like double jointed, I don't know, knees that could hop like a mantis.
No, but the main girl, who is an absolute psychopath, I want to point out.
Awesome.
She's a psychopath. She was like raised by a cult that tried to use chemical weapons to try and take over all of Japan, and she was raised from birth to be a killing machine. But she has the personality of a completely, supposedly normal high school girl, and her whole deal is like, I'm the cutest and strongest high schooler ever, teehee, but she's an absolute fucking psychopath. And her main thing is that she has ultra elastic tendons, which is a thing that can happen. So what she does is that she has a move where she will control the tension of her joints and her tendons and use them like a spring, cock back her arm for a punch, and it has a bunch of extra like power. It's like a fucking zoom punch.
I was gonna say, everything goes back to fucking zoom punch. Is your manga cool? Is your character able to do a zoom punch? Then they're awesome.
Yeah.
The fucking cells activate and evolve into a better form, which let her do zoom punch, is what you're telling me. Sure, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. This is real martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Let's fucking do it. Oh, man. But yeah, go read Starstruck Get Rich. It's so fucking good.
Is it translated though, or is it still like...
Yeah, it's translated.
I meant like official release translator. Is it like, you know, the official asterisk?
It's, as far as I know, only volume one is officially translated. So it's pretty recent. There's only 22 chapters right
okay,
now.
Okay, okay, yeah, no, there we go. That's like, that's just starting out, really.
Yeah, it came out like last year.
Oh, fuck. There we go.
2023.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend, though, if you really like... If you want to scratch the itch Teppu left behind, I guess. Because that... Teppu was great because it was also about completely unhinged women beating the shit out of each other.
But yeah, I feel like Teppu... I've only read little bits of it. That seems like a more... rational universe than elastic tendons and zoom punches.
Oh no, it is.
And I'm sure someone just has fucking psychic powers in this too, or fighting just some fucking magic. No,
not really. It's if it's trying to be like Kengan is like weird pseudoscience bullshit, and it's like one level below the insanity of Baki, basically.
Fair enough. I could believe someone just turns all of their fat reserves into fucking ki, as opposed to... Did you know that oxygen is the most deadliest gas? You see, by putting my hand on your face in a certain way, I could put the air of oxygen into your brain and kill you in 1 second or less. This is my martial art.
It's more like stuff like, I'm going to use... the clapping of my hands and the rhythmic motions of my martial arts to cause a subconscious hypnotism to make you believe that I don't exist.
That also happens in Baki 2, to be fair. But it's just much stupider and much more vague. And doesn't matter because... Fuck. God.
Honestly, go read Kengan. Kengan is unironically like a really good fight manga.
I hear there's like a crossover happening soon, like just fucking Oma versus Baki is a Netflix special that's gonna happen.
God, yeah, that's a hell of a fight. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what.
Power scalers are putting their fucking stocks in. They are lining up.
Mm-hmm. No one ever gets as ridiculous as Yujiro in the Kengan verse. I'm gonna tell you that for fucking free, but because Yujiro is like a whole other
thing. He's just a freak. He's just an actual monster. Yeah.
a genetic freak.
He's not normal.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, go read Star Strike It Rich. Unironically great manga. If you want women beating the shit out of each other, that's your manga. And then the other thing was a live action show. Jank, have you watched the FX show Shogun?
Shogun. I don't think I have.
Shogun. It's a FX historical drama miniseries. It's historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that there are no real people in it, but they are approximations of real people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like this character, this guy is loosely based off of X real person.
Got you.
Like the main, one of the main characters, Toranaga, the titular shogun, is loosely based off of Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Now, when you say loosely based off Ieyasu, do you mean in like a historical way or in a Sengoku Basara way of dude with fucking punch powers and spiky hair?
In a historical way, this is a historical.
Got you.
Drama, like it's not anime.
I was implying it was anime, more just like how loose we talk, because loose could be a lot of things.
Loose in the sense that like. His name is different, and he's doing similar things, but obviously the events and timelines and other characters mm-hmm. around him are not.
For the sake of like just making a narrative as opposed to just saying history, because
yeah,
if it already happened in history, you kind of know how it's going to end.
Yeah, doing a similar story with characters loosely based off of these historical figures, and it takes place during the 1600s, so like right before the. When the Bakumatsu / the Edo Tokugawa shogunate would have been formed. And the basic premise is about a sailor named John Blackthorne, who is loosely based off of a real English sailor who ended up becoming a retainer to a shogun. And him meeting Toranaga. And then a woman named Mariko, who is loosely based off of the daughter of one... Akechi Mitsuhide, the guy who betrayed Nobunaga.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of them in this, like, political, historical drama.
Interesting, okay.
So if you like political, historical stuff, especially, like, if you really like, I loved Japanese period pieces, it's just, like, all of them seem to want to take place during the Sengoku period.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of, like... That's the moneymaker period. That's where all the big shit happened.
But I like the Edo period a lot personally. And then Demon Slayer is in the Taisho period.
That one I always fucking forget because it's the fact that like the main character is like a mountain, for lack of a better term, a mountain hick.
Yeah, he's never seen a train. It's like whoa. And then fucking Inosuke is like, oh my god, what is this mountain beast? I must slay it.
God, they really are in the sticks. They're so far up, that's where all fucking the demons are and shit.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I was worried it was going to be very white savior because one of the main characters is like an Englishman.
Mm-hmm.
But he... could not be less of a savior in the sense that, like, he's kind of, like, a prisoner, almost. Like, he does not want to be here. But it does focus on him a lot, him, like, kind of, like, getting to know the culture and stuff. So, probably, like, a better version of what The Last Samurai was trying to do, I guess. Which is not hard. To be fair,
let's see. Like, when this started airing, how long has it been airing for?
It's pretty recent. It's only 8 episodes so far.
Oh, dang!
It's a miniseries.
Way to keep it topical.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about. You know. Well, look at us. We're talking about things that aired at least a year ago, and not things from 1970 something.
Yeah, this started coming out. February of this year.
Oh, shit. Ooh.
So, very, very recent. like the last episode was as of the recording of this podcast yesterday.
Oh fuck, let's go. Yeah, no, I'm locking in. Never mind. I like historical dramas. I like the
Oh yeah.
I like the Simpsons and Always Sunny Network.
Yeah. It's so far it's good. I like it, and it's also putting me in the vibes for a D&D thing that I've been working for a long time that is a fantasy Japan that is in the loosely based off of Edo period Japan.
Ooh,
so
ooh.
Putting me in the vibes for that. But yeah, that's me. So that being said, we're going to do our quick 5-10 minute break, water, bathroom, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the better man.
Yeah. He's so much better. He's better than you, he's better than me. Maybe he's better than your Uncle Rick. That's right. He's the better man.
He's the better man. All right. We'll see you in a minute. And welcome back.
Welcome back.
Talking about the better man.
Batama. That's it. No.
Better Man is a Japanese animation television series produced by our good friends at Sunrise.
Yay!
And it is weirdly, for those who don't know, a spin-off of the famous Super Robot anime, The King of Braves, Gao Gaigar. And produced under the direction of Mr. Yoshitomo Yonetani and writer Hiroshi Yamaguchi. It originally aired in April 1st, 1999.
That's right. No fooling.
Mm-hmm. And it with music by Kohei Tanaka. And I believe that is all things on the production side. Created by Hajime Yatate and Yonetani, respectively.
Which, yeah, for those unaware, Hajime Yatate is not one person. That's just a big collective pseudonym for various Sunrise people that just don't want the names around. Because occasionally, even Yoshiki Tamino, the Gundam creator, will work under the Hajime Yatate, name. Basically, just big old cast of people who probably have some tenure in mecha anime. The Sunrise, when you see that means somebody good is working on it, if not multiple people.
Yeah, for those who don't know, there is a loose connection between this and Gao Gaigar. The events of Better Man take place within the same universe, and they take place before the events of Genesic Gao Gaigar.
So, if you're a fan of Gao Gaigar and you watch this show, fuck man, Japan's kind of cooked.
Yeah. And also, for those who are like eagle eyed and have seen Genesic Gao Gaigar, there is actually a scene in Genesic Gao Gaigar where a bunch of people are watching some of the events unfold in Genesic Gao Gaigar on live TV, and the Akamatsu team can briefly be seen watching the events in Genesic Gao Gaigar.
Yeah, it's a lot. The connections are very loose in a way where, if you're a fan of both, it's cool. If you haven't seen either or, you really don't need to. It's inversely for Better Man, the connections are pretty just blink and you'll miss it. Like a character mentions a brother they have and looks like said character. Another character brings up their dad, who's not even supposed to be relevant until like extra canon material sort of says, hey, yeah, this character's dad is actually this guy from Gao Gaigar, which is cool.
It is. And then, you know, this is obviously stuff they mention later on in the canon material, that, like, the Limpid Channel is similar to some of the psychic powers that, I forget the names of the two alien kids in Gao Gaigar. They have similar powers.
Fucking Mamoru and Kaido.
Yeah, Mamoru and Kaido, like, their powers could be similar to how the Limpid Channel and other psychic powers are in Better Man as well. So here's the thing about Better Man. Better Man is one of those animes that I personally really like, and I watch. It was like one of my first like animes that I really got into that wasn't like your Toonami Adult Swim animes that everybody has seen. Like, you know, when you started to branch out the anime that wasn't like the quote-unquote the mainstream anime. And Better Man actually originally, when I originally watched it, there was actually a anime block on G4. Fucking, for those who remember G4 / Tech TV or whatever the fuck.
Shout out to all the Code Monkeys fans out there, all six of you.
Yeah, I would say X-Play fans, but Adam Sussler is a dead to me.
No, I was good. Yeah, that's the standout show for me from that channel as a whole. And that's a fucking, that's sad and good in a lot of ways, man. Continue.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because, you know, I used to really like that show, but hey, whatever. Yeah, it was on G4. It was an anime block, and they had some really weird ones. It was, they had Better Man, they had Last Exile, Gadgar, Abinabashi, the Magical Shopping Arcade, and like some other anime that I forget, but those are the ones I always remember were those anime. And then when Sci-Fi got their own anime block, it also re-aired on Sci-Fi, which honestly, I think that was a better place for it, was Sci-Fi.
Yes, I remember Sci-Fi being the way anime can be on other places other than Toonami. Because that's where I, like, started seeing, like, 00 Gundam for the first time.
And Gurren?
I actually did not see... I think I saw Gurren all online, just, like, on YouTube. So, I think... I don't know if Aniplex had it all, like, just there for free. For Wild, right? Or maybe yeah. Someone, like, ripped it on there, but... It was all on fucking YouTube.
Yeah. Like, that was where I watched Gurren. Was Sci-Fi. The dub. And not a bad dub, like, not a bad thing to watch. The dub is great. Like, the Gurren dub is amazing. But, and also, that's the other thing about this show that was really fun, is I've seen this show, like, probably 10, 12 times, maybe, but only ever dubbed. I've never watched it sub before, so this was a new experience watching it sub. And then immediately, when we heard Lamia, and I'm like, Koyasu!
That's crazy. Yeah, I was gonna say, any standouts from the cast in English or Japanese?
Honestly, I think both, like, I think Keita's voice actor in English and Japanese, fucking mwah, chef's kiss. Like, they, because Kape Yamaguchi is fucking really famous for being like Usopp.
Usopp, you know? Fucking, Inuyasha.
Yeah, and then, his English voice is Matthew Erickson, who was in fucking God. What's the thing you might know him for? He was like Young Domon in G Gundam. He was Amuro in Zeta. He was also in. Oh, he was Van in Zoids Chaotic Century.
Wow,
like the main character of Zoids.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is this the first time we've ever watched, like, talked about, like, a show or anime with, like, the Blue Water voice cast? Because that's not weird, just, like, a cast you don't really hear anymore now, or if you do, it's for, like, really, like, obscure things. Because they're also Canadian, but they're, like, I think they're, like, an opposite side of, like, Canada. Like, I think it's still Ocean Productions, but it's just, like, a different talent pool in the same way as, say, like, we have, like, say, the Four Kids, like, New York talent, and then, like, Funimation's, like, Texas talent. Oh, well, former Funimation, that doesn't exist anymore.
And then Hinoki's voice actress, Kyoko Hakami, is pretty famous. She was, like, she's been in, Digiterror, Sakura Wars, like, Crayon Shin-chan, Yu Hakusho, Blue Seed, I think she was in Blackjack, Fushigi Yugi, etc. And then her English voice actress, Onela Gilbertson, was also in Zoids Chaotic Century. She was Moonbae in Zoids Chaotic Century, if I remember correctly. I think she was also in G Gundam, because a lot of the G Gundam voice actors were freaking Ocean / Canadian, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep, yeah.
She's in the Ocean dub of Dragon Ball. She's Launch in the Ocean dub of Dragon Ball.
I was also gonna say, shout out to Jonathan Love for voicing, like, I think 3 or 4 fucking characters.
Oh yeah,
he's like every. He is, like, because he's fucking, he's Sho, he's Lamia, and he's is he Cactus too for, like, whatever they do.
Yeah, I think he is Cactus. Yeah,
every other, like, incidental, like, male character is him.
Yeah, hit in Japanese, like Koyasu and his voice actor of Shinichiro Miki were the two actors I immediately recognized when I heard their voices. Because Shinichiro Miki is like fucking everywhere. He's the Japanese voice of James in Pokemon.
He's James, he's OG Fate Stay Night Assassin.
Roy Mustang.
The Gyro in like any of like the JoJo games, and hopefully whenever Steel Ball Run gets animated, 'cause he sounds really good as Gyro.
Freaking Zamasu and Dragon Ball Super.
And Koyasu, we don't really have to say what Takeo Koyasu's been doing.
He's Koyasu.
He's been fucking going at it since like the late 90s till now. He's in everything.
Korewa Dio da.
Kono Lamia da.
Kono Lamia da. And then I also recognized freaking Bodaiju's voice actor, Kazuki Yao. Because he was in,
Yeah, I was gonna say
yeah.
he's fucking Frank. Yeah, we got Frankie, we got Usopp, we got. I'm sure Mickey voices the character. I'm sure.
No, yeah, freaking Mr. Bon Clay.
Bon Clay, Frankie, for the real One Piece heads, fucking Django. Remember Django? With
Django.
his fucking, with his freaky hypnotism, and his dancing. And also for like, again, going back to Double Zeta, very funnily enough, the OG voice of Judao.
And freaking oh God, Shinichiro Miki is in Double O, if I remember correctly. He's fucking Lock On
He's lock on,
Stratus.
yeah. So yeah, characters who were very established and a lot of just established like mecha character voice actors. Was there anywhere you else did stuff in Gaogaigar though? Like any like I don't think so.
No, I don't think there's any overlap, as far as I'm aware. But I could be wrong.
Just one like sort of like last little thing is Chafurin, the voice of Mr. Akamatsu. Was his actor was also I forget what the character's name was, but it was a character that shows up in Bravern. So watching this show while also watching Bravern and hearing him again, it's like, oh wow, damn, he's still kicking, he's still pumping those old man lines. Awesome, cool.
For sure. Freaking, I think, what's her name? The voice actress for Kaede, Tomoko Kawakami. I recognized her voice, and then it took me a while to remember it because I think she's in Bleach. Soifon.
Oh,
She
okay.
voices Soifon in Bleach.
That's.
She's been in a bunch of stuff, but that's the thing I remember her from.
I wouldn't have caught that because fucking Soifon to Kaede is a pretty big range.
Oh yeah, for sure. She's also in Shaman King, I think. And Yakitake Japan and Utena. Yeah, she plays Utena in Utena.
There we go. See, that's what I was kind of hearing.
Yeah, and she's also in Mega Man NT Warrior slash Rockman X. Somewhere in there. Like, she's been in a bunch
I
of
never
stuff.
watched that subbed, so I would not know who, but cool that it's there. Cool that everything ties together.
Yeah.
We love talking about our voice actors here, and I actually have missed like doing the little voice actor reels.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's I love talking about voice actors. But so here's the thing about Better going back to my thing with Better Man is like I watched this show so many times, and both me and my sibling love Better Man, and they were the only person I could ever talk to about Better Man. And here's the thing, for the longest, like, I got to a point in my life where it's like, I was thinking to myself, okay, is Better Man good, or do I just like it? And having someone who has never seen it is kind of, like, nice, and I want to, like, I'm looking forward to talking about it with you, because it's like, you'll be talking about it with somebody who has never seen it beforehand, and no, like, nostalgic attachment to it like I do, so you can look at it with fresh eyes. Eyes unclouded by hate.
Like when you told me about this, I thought like, oh, this is just a show you've heard about. I didn't realize that you're like, I don't want to say you're Better Man's biggest fan, but like, It's fine. I don't know. I don't think anyone else talks about the show besides you and maybe one other friend who is just like a mecha friend that I have that just knows pretty much everything about mecha.
Yeah. This is one of those enemies that I would like, not in my top 10, but maybe my top 20 favorite anime, just because of I just like it so much. And just to prove a point of how much I like this anime, whenever me and Cenk watch these shows, we usually watch them through a streaming means or, you know, whatever, because some of them aren't available in other ways. And then Cenk, like, someone re-uploaded, like, a high-res version of these episodes to YouTube, by the way, if you want to go watch them. Go watch.
Actually, let me find them. Watch those if you want to watch. Let me find the link, because the person also has, like, a Patreon, too, because ripping shit ain't free.
It ain't free. And those are high. They upscaled them pretty nicely. So it was nice watching
real upscales, too. Not AI upscales, by the way. Like, this is, like, genuinely
proper.
Yeah, let me find.
Proper upscale. It was weird seeing. Of watching like upscale stuff with old subs, all the fucking the piss yellow subs. Oh man, takes me back.
The old and new, a double helix that paves the way towards the future. Amazing.
But no, to prove what Cenk said, it was like, nah, here's the thing, Cenk. I'm not gonna. I told him. I remember I texted this to you, and I was like, well, here's the thing, Cenk. I'm not gonna watch it on YouTube. I have another method. And then I sent him a picture of my fucking DVD collection of the entire series.
I think it's funny that we watch the same version of Better Man, because again, this rip is not this is an actual fucking rip. It's not like the episodes. It is a rip of the DVD like menu and like
extra features,
all the parts, all the ninja info cards, the fucking. I was watching it. And I just tuned away for a second and got jump scared by the fucking lightning and the music. I thought Better Man was real and happening in real life for a second. Yeah,
haunting.
You don't get DVDs like this anymore.
You don't.
And you never will. Like I said, Funimation's gone now. There is no more. The Crunchyroll has eaten up all your favorite DVD sites. So treasure them while you can.
Physical media is dying. Treasure it. There's like a resurgence of people wanting to collect physical media nowadays.
Yeah, no, the fucking...
Like DVDs and VHS and shit.
The Blu-rays and stuff. I myself am a big Discotheque supporter. And hope maybe this anniversary and our interests and you listeners at home, your interest possibly... will lead to a nice little awesome cool Blu-ray. Maybe they'll even redub it. Doesn't need to. That's not really a thing I want. It's more just a nice little bonus that people tend to do for older shows to sort of revamp them.
Mm-hmm. Because
this show definitely feels like it has a place. I feel like it has a place here. I think it was just a little bit too early, or rather, I guess too late. Because I guess when you say like weird show. Watching it for the first time, or I guess before I'd watched it, I had heard sort of like things saying like, oh yeah, Better Man's a sort of bootleg Ava discount like psychological anime, and as I watched it, I kind of felt that, but also kind of felt that because of it being more of a fully realized like this was a thing that I feel like was planned to always be like this and not similar to Ava where production stuff Hideaki Anno's like sort of mental state as he was making this sort of changed things and budgetary restraints sort of made the show morph over time. Whereas Better Man, it's like, no, this show is kind of always supposed to be like what it is. And I, in that regard, I want to say it's better. Teehee. He's giggle.
Teehee.
Smiles. Teehee.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like it's realized. The fully realized product, however, it's fucking batshit insane.
Oh yeah, no, I remember telling you before we watched this show. I'm like, oh, like how are you enjoying it? I'm like, oh yeah, it's fine. I haven't got. You said it was batshit insane though. I'm like, yeah, no, give it a minute.
No, I was feeling like the Willy Wonka fucking tunnel scene energy, just like just sitting there. Like, yeah, this is pretty cool. It's like there's nowhere we're knowing where we're going. It's like, huh? What's happening? Oh no! What? Huh? What? That's not how cells work.
Once we get to like the halfway point, the show just becomes absolutely batshit insane.
The show says just I love how hard and which point of the show they say fuck it, because it kind of does like a oh here's a twist that's like oh that's like kind of a twist, and then it goes oh by the way fuck everything you actually just knew, here's what's going on, and it's like huh, by the time you even like comprehend it. Just more, they just layer more and more insane shit.
Yeah, there is one twist that I do not like, but everything else is like, yeah, I'm okay with this. This makes sense. This makes sense with what we know so far. But I'll get into that later. But the show, I wanted to repeat this sentiment when I said it, but I think that like rewatching it now with like fresh eyes and having to look at it critically, this show feels like three different other shows stapled together. Like the mecha show is its own thing. The weird psychological shit with Algernon and the psychic stuff is its own thing. And then there's like the weird sci-fi evolution mitochondria parasite Eve shit going on with the Betterman / the Somnium that's like its own other show.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's a nice little rule of three unintentionally, because of like, oh yeah, we have sort of like, you know, the Modi Warp / like the Neo descendant like companies and their deal. We have like the mech characters, so Akamatsu Industries and like, you know, Keita Hinoki, like what their like, you know, like what their deal is, and we have just sort of Lamia mucking about like, yeah, I'm doing Lamia things, and then it just sort of all kind of comes together by the end of every episode, and that's sort of like kind of the pattern, or I guess a pattern you can kind of make, because not every episode is like that. Sometimes it is just a character like that, one of those groups will have more focus than the other, and other times they'll just be like, hey, I'm here just to fill in a quota and then fuck off.
Yeah, like it starts off as like a monster of the week kind of show, and then it turns into like whatever the fuck the Brahmin shit is.
Isn't there like a point in the show where Lamia doesn't even like transform like 4 or 5 episodes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because that's just when they're dropping all the big plot lore and shit. Like, it's never like a, oh yeah, we don't know to do this character. It's more like a, you know, no, this is a focus thing, and this character's not in the focus right now. But they will be soon, for really dumb and insane reasons.
Yeah, like, the one, here's the one thing I will say about the show that, like, I'm willing to admit that it's not for everybody, and it has its flaws, I still like it. But the one thing I will die forever, like, I'll die on a hill to say about it, is that the monster and robot designs fuck.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it's a little simple, but I think the fact that it is just very, like, it actually is what Gao Gaga was trying to do, of like, here's a much more technical mech show with some pseudoscience, but the designs feel like that. These feel like heavy industries, like, robots, not your super robots, not your Braves, and not totally in, like just like scope dog style like type real robots, but you know a rung above them in the favor of super robot, where it's like okay, they have the special names, they have their weird like the fucking the cerebe heads and the womb heads and all that, and like
one of them has the brains of 7 dolphins in it.
One of the 7 dolphin brains, which is a plot line that the show will fucking forget about and then bring it back for this. It is so... That is such a stupid fucking scene. It is so dumb and insane, and the fact that... It feels like a joke. It feels like a joke.
The seven dolphins instead of the Kakusajin?
The 7 dolphins inside Kakusajin. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's... Yeah, there they go. It's always fucking dolphins, man. It's always CG fucking dolphins.
It's always the dolphins, man.
Oh, God. Like, that's the thing.
Like, but
sorry, you first.
No, go.
Like, there are things in this show that feel like jokes that, like just like you, like, you're the audience is supposed to be in on. And every time it's like, oh, this is a bit, right? It's like, no. No, this is not a bit. It's like, oh, what? But it never does that, like, It never does it in like a malicious way, I guess. Like, oh, haha, fuck you for watching this show. It's more of a, oh, we're just, we're this is like, we're strapped in, we're in for a ride. The only like,
yeah,
exception being just like any of like the dumb Keita horny jokes. Keita's really fucking horny about everything, but I guess that
he's 17. He's 17. What do you want?
He's 17, voiced by fucking the face of Rumiko Takahashi manga. That's his fault.
And also, like, the show itself is also kind of horny, like, because it's Obari doing his designs. Like,
is it?
There are so many. Yeah, Obari does the designs in this. Like, if you look at Obari's humans and you look at the how the characters are drawn in fucking Better Man, it's like, oh yeah, no, this is an Obari design. Especially the women.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of just. Man, the camera sure is panning up. Man, it sure decided to choose the legs to boobs to face. Thanks, Better Man.
There are so many just lingering shots on Coyote's tits.
You couldn't have lingered on the more important shots, like the mechs, or Akamatsu in the bathtub. It threw me a... That show threw me a bone. It threw me a bone. I'll give it that.
Oh, yeah, no, it did.
It threw me a fucking bone of old man in shower. Divorced old man in shower. Ooh.
A divorced old man.
Ooh.
He's single.
Yippee. Yay.
But, freaking. The character designs are like, you either like them or you don't. They're hit or miss, really. And the one thing I kept thinking about when looking at Lamia in, like, his human form is, like, that's just a Yu-Gi-Oh! Character.
No! So is Inoki! They're both fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! Characters! They're...
Mm-hmm.
They remind me of... I don't know why specifically, but I think it's just because, like, the loose sibling connection, what with, like, you know, the body stuff, Mario and everything, they reminded me of, like, Shark and his sister from Yu-Gi-Oh! Zale, Zexal, whatever. I'm saying it both ways.
I don't care either way.
I say fucking, like, what was it? Or just, like, they look like they're from that show because of how fucking insane their hair is. The fucking Italian hair.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. It's like, it's literally hair that is red, white, and green. And all, and, like, the, it's not like dye. One, it's like one character has, it's like, oh, you think it's like dyed hair. It's like, no, the dad's hair looks like that, the mom's hair looks like that, the brother's hair looks like that, but fucking the worst of them all, because it's like supposedly natural.
I can't get over the fact that it's like, hi, my name is Hinoki, and this is my brother, Mario.
It's a me, Mario, and his Italian toothpaste hair.
Like, why? Why is his name Mario? You know what, for that matter, why the fuck was that dude's name Cactus Prickle?
You know he has a brother in the crossover manga named
Urchin Prickle.
Fuck yeah! I bet you knew about Urchin Prickle.
I did know about Urchin Prickle
from America. Stupid. You know, the Americans and their cheeseburger rhinoceros. I know my good buddy Cactus Prickle.
Oh, I fucking hate it, man.
I like
it's so fucking stupid.
Talking about it, it reminds me of the fact that, like, unless the character is a main character, I kind of like how the show saves money by just having, like, any side characters just have, like, a blacked out face.
No face.
Like that. Yeah. Like, that's creepy. We should fucking talk about this. I mean, the show is really good at being really fucking creepy when it wants to be.
Oh, yeah, no, it, whatever you want to say about it, it does succeed at, like, creating, like, its atmosphere, and it has some interesting cinematography, and it does a lot of cool shots that are trying to be psychological, and it works a lot of the time.
One thing that helps it, I was going to say, I don't know if this is true, I saw Wikipedia, there may have been shows before it, but I think Better Man, because it came out, like, 1999... was one of the first anime to be, like, broadcast in, like, widescreen, but not, like, proper widescreen. Yeah. So it always has, like, black bars.
It's got letterboxed.
It's always letterboxed, which, like, gives it this really kind of cool look where it always feels like everything is a little too... It always feels serious. There's, like, jokey scenes, there's goofy stuff, but then when things get scary, it's... Yeah, no.
Yeah. It feels claustrophobic.
Yeah! Yeah!
you know, and I think that's clearly intentional, you know, because the show is trying to invoke like weird psychological, like it's trying to do a lot of things. I think that like the two best comparisons, like if I were to like take two pre-existing things and like smash them together to kind of get the vibe of what this show is, it would be Ava, which you already mentioned, and then Parasite Eve are like the two things. Like you smash them together, and that's kind of the vibe of the show.
Yeah, like I was calling it like Parasite Eve bootleg for a lot of time in DMs, but it does have that vibe of just because it feels like a survival horror game. If there was a Better Man game, it wouldn't be a mech game for most of the thing. It would be like a survival horror. We have to run around and creepy shit happens, and then like 5 minutes of mech fighting.
And then 5 minutes of playing as a Better Man Nebula.
And it's a fucked up fighting game.
Yeah, it's about the fighting game. Which is your favorite of the out of all the Better Man forms?
Ah, because like I want to go for the obvious answer of which one's the grappler form. I guess that'd be
Forte.
Forte, but that's the thing is that I thought when I saw like all the forms go through, I thought I was like, oh, it's like a Kamen Rider thing of like specialized forms. Like not really. It's well,
I
it
mean,
is, but Forte is just stated to be like, oh yeah, that's like the upgrade form. That's like the strong form for the for a while.
yeah. I mean, each of them are supposed to like either control like some sort of like basic scientific element or like a phenomenon, like, you know, Nebula controls sonic waves, Turba controls air currents. Lume controls gamma and the radiation, and then we only see it for like a brief moment, but Fakila's Better Man form is, it controls gravity, essentially.
Fuck yeah, they're actually all kind of cool. I'm gonna say Turbo just because, like, I don't know. I just like how it's introduced. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, Lamia isn't the only like better man there, and we could have two of them fucking fight each other, and it's the sickest shit. Psychocomm is kind of fucking cool. It's just
Cycle code.
Psychocomm, and it's just the fucking you being in the center of a hurricane for a sec, and then boom, all that force.
Yeah, listen, I'm never gonna get sick of Psycho Glory.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, Bear Man's also cool in the sense of like whatever mech shows happen, or like a mech show. Say you're Mazinger Z, you're Mazinger Z. It has a character. Say the attack name. It's like, oh yeah, they. So you know what it is. It sounds cool and awesome. Bear Man does that, but instead of having the characters say their shit, because it kind of doesn't really make any sense to why would, I don't know. It has fucking Sakura, the small little child who can hear everything because of her limp, because of her. Oh God. Or we'll get to
The
that.
Lipid
The Limpet
Channel.
Jail. Just the small child just saying like the attack name out loud, and it just so happens to coincide when it happens.
Psycho Glory.
Like just scream. It's like, oh yeah, thanks for telling us what the attack name is. Thanks for expositing. I like that the show exposits through this character. It's neat. Let's talk about Sakura for a bit because wow, that is what a fucking character to put in early 2000s anime, or I guess late 90s anime.
Yeah, what going back to the voice actors real quick, I want to compliment her English VA, because like she really gets the energy down of like how actually creepy Sakura is, you know, freaking Mariette Schluter, I think, is her English, and then Junko Iwao is her Japanese voice actress.
So yeah, for context, Sakura is a character, or Sakura Akamatsu is a character. She is a like just a small little creepy child. Well, not creepy, but I guess you'll see. Small child who is tied to a fucking the manage machine. It is a chair that quite literally is pumping her full of Ritalin and like the fucking what else? Like was it block?
Other drug, like
Like
similar
dr
drugs,
so just
yeah.
drugs to keep her like calm because. One, she has like severe ADHD, but two is that she has some like innate. So like, the show has like different names for different kinds of like psychics or espers that are technically different things, but I'm just gonna view it as the same form of the same of like one like different forms of one thing. But hers just sort of manifests as she's connected to the Limpid Channel, which is this thing in the show that is just being able to just talk through collective unconscious information, like gathering. However, Sakura's is, because of her ADHD, she is just kind of involuntarily connected to everyone on the planet at random times. So if she's not, like, heavily medicated, she just freaks the fuck out. Because imagine if you heard everyone's thoughts all over the place.
It's like hearing the collective global zeitgeist.
And yeah, the show illustrates this by, like, the fucking ending theme illustrates this by just, like, yeah, imagine being in a giant-ass never-ending library of just pure information. It sucks. Mm-hmm. Which is, and another thing the show does, that I didn't realize it because I thought it was, like, the show was, like, oh, yeah, she's a small anime girl, she has, like, a cutesy anime girl voice. That's not her cutesy anime girl voice. That is the voice of a child who does not, like, who is trying to, like, muster words. Because, again, they are, the weight of all the world's information is in their brain right now. So they are trying to just say, like, coherent sentences.
Yeah, I honestly think one of the most interesting things the show ever did was the episode with the reflections. And Sakura's reflection talking back to her and saying she has only ever spoken the words of other people and has never had a voice, and calling her disgusting little doormat, and knowing that some of where that's coming from is her own actual voice and her own, like, kind of like self-loathing and hating that she has this power.
Yeah, I fucking remember that scene. Because then the end of it, I thought it was like a little weird, like a little ham-fist, and I realized, oh, wait, no, this is super genuine, where she just says thank you to her reflection for... I remember the line was like, thank you for letting me hear my voice for the first time in a long time. I was like, wow, this kid has it rough.
Oh, yeah.
I was sort of making jokes about it, like, because it does kind of exude the glass bones, paper skin, kind of just, oh, woe is me energy, but it is kind of the saddest thing in the show. There are other really sad things that happen, some for no fucking reason.
Yeah. But, and then you have the interesting thing with, like, talking about, like, psychic powers and, like, relationships and characters, like, with Kaede and Yanaki. Whereas, like, the whole thing with Kaede is that she has all of this power that she can't control, and the only way that she's able to control it is by, like, being suggested by Sho. Like, he has to put her under, like, a self-hypnosis to make her not destroy everything around her.
So, question, because I always kind of understand it right. What is the difference between Sho's power and Kaede's power? Because it sounds like the same thing. What? She has dowsing, and he has, like, hypnosis.
Yeah, basically, how the two powers work is that, like, there's several different psychic powers in the show. And we talked about Sakura as being the Limpid Channel. Kaede's is dowsing, and dowsing is basically, like, she has the ability to, like, sense the presence of people, and also, like, she has, like, echolocation, essentially, with her mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Like, she senses the magnetic waves of objects and people, because almost everything in existence gives off a subtle magnetic wave because of, like, the motion of electrons.
More pseudoscience, it checks out.
No, that checks out. That's one of the things that actually, like, yeah, no, that makes sense. one of the only things that does. But so she's able to, like, echolocate and, like, read the structure of things, and also, like, detect the presence of living organisms based up upon their magnetic waves. And that's how her power works. But also she has, like, that's not her only ability. She does clearly seem to have, like, a telekinetic field she can create. I think that's supposed to be sort of like, she creates, because of her dowsing, she's able to control magnetic fields. She creates an electromagnetic field around herself, like a barrier.
Yeah, Sakura did that too for some reason. It's just as power as they could do because fuck you, whatever.
Yeah. Because electromagnetic field or whatever. And then Shows is he has two abilities. His main ability is precognition, which allows him to like sense danger. It's like he has like a
I thought precognition was like made up because it was actually like wasn't that didn't the show say that it was like that's not actually his ability, it's just what he says his ability is, because what it really is just hypnosis.
No, that's a whole other thing.
Okay.
But no, the precognition is like it's like spider sense. Mm-hmm. Right? But his other ability is the self-hypnosis ability, or like hypnosis, where you can like basically implant a thought into your mind or himself. And that whole thing is that Sho was so traumatized by the fact that he let his brother die and his own weakness, he self-hypnotized himself into making himself a stronger person who tried that he used his own ability on himself to bury his own memories of his brother dying so that he could be a strong person and be like a role model to other people so that he wouldn't mentally break down.
Yeah. I still want to say it though. Shoryagi made up his backstory so people would feel bad for him. He could, in theory. He didn't. I do like the idea of what if he actually did make up his backstory and his brother just never existed. It was just a random brain, but that's a little too out of nowhere. I think that they explained it pretty well. And just... It is kind of neat, too, because... This is talking about both of them. They're both kind of equally just fucked up characters who kind of have a really rough lot in life.
They have fucking, what's it called?
They say...
suffer a lot.
Yeah. They're codependent.
Codependent. Yeah, clearly.
The show kept, like, hammering in, like, hammers in this thing of, like, oh, yeah, no... Me and Kaede are like a bee and a flower. And it's like, oh, that's like a cute little way to say. It's like, no, it's not cute. They quietly just need each other because they're both so irreparably damaged that one just can't live without the other. It's bittersweet, it's pathetic, it's sad. And it's just really kind of cool to have a show do that with... For most of the show, it seems like, oh yeah, Kate's a fucking loser goofball. Hinoki is, by her own admission, an idiot. So, like...
A person who clearly has self-worth issues.
Very much, yeah. Like... And so you establish it, and you think, okay, these guys, they have it all figured out. It's like, no, they're honestly kind of worse. And you could argue that they might not even, like, in the same way we know it, like, love each other. It's more just they're there by necessity with each other. Whereas with Keita and Inoki, it's like, despite everything, they actually do like each other a lot.
Mm-hmm,
which is,
for sure.
Which is neat. I'm the biggest fucking Keita hater in the room right now, if not you. I think it is cute when they, like... Well, like, just whenever, like, something bad happens, and they're back together, and they just both fucking hug out. Like, they miss each other, like, almost constantly. There are points where, when Kate's dumb horny bit isn't that bad, that Hinoki actually plays into it, and it's, like, almost cute flirting. I like that a lot. It's neat to have, like, the character bits and character growth in small little ways of relationships get better. Or worse,
yeah,
depending.
And then you have like the stuff with like Akamatsu and Sakura, which I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to focus on more because like it really only ever comes up in the worm episode and near the end with like his relationship with his wife. And well, no, it also comes up in the reflection episode too. But like, I don't know. I feel like we could have done more with like the relationship between Akamatsu and his daughter, and then like the stuff with his wife. But you know. That's a whole thing.
Let's say, the show, I think, is in some way good for that, because it focuses on what it has to focus on, and for what it, like, sort of leaves behind, it still, like, leaves enough threads where it's like, oh, this character has more going on for them than I thought. And that's, like, why I compare it to Ava, because Ava also has the two a lot of characters where there'll be, like, one-off lines or incidental things where it's like, oh, wait, this character is not just some, like, trope. There's some shit going on. And I kind of like it better if you have to sort of speculate things that happen, like when, why the Akamatsu, did he divorce with his wife? Was it because of Sakura's condition? Was it in spite of the condition? Who was on what side about what? Like, who is to blame? It leads to cool things, and it makes you like sort of wonder, hey, what are our characters really? Like, what is their deals? With that being said, I think the least interesting is, and also because I forgot her name too. Oh, fuck, the doctor lady.
Oh, freaking Miss, God, I just had her name too. Hold on, I'll remember it.
Come on, double.
Miss Miyako.
Miyako, yeah. I don't think she's uninteresting. Miyako, I think it's more just like, yeah, awesome, like fucking Asami, just kind of, okay, well, she has stuff going on. Her whole deal being about, like, wanting to learn, like, know everything about biomedicine, like,
being overly logical and needing to explain everything.
I guess so. That's sort of, like, that's kind of her, I think the gimmick is just more that's a play out thing of, like, oh, yeah, this is a sci-fi fantasy show, kind of, and she's all like, oh, no, there's, science can explain this, and it's like, ah, oh, fuck, science can't explain shit.
I mean, and it's very clear that her, like, explaining things and trying to understand how they work is her coping mechanism.
That's true, though, actually. I do like that that's how it is for a bit, and then it goes into, well, you see, I have to do this because this shit's fucking wild, man.
I wanted to, like, circle back to, like, the Kaede show thing because it's, like, it's a microcosm of one of the larger themes that the show is trying to do, which is the codependency, and it's of, like, they're codependent, but then go back to the codependency of the Somniums to humanity.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like trying to, like, have a theme, you know, theming. Intro stage. Fuck. You know how it works, right?
I love themes and narratives.
There's a lot of themes and narratives in Better Man.
Are you implying that the Better Man is not an anime, but related to perhaps something that could be translated in a different language, maybe perhaps German, perhaps, question mark, Carl Jung, question mark, Animus, question mark, what? Who said that? What?
Mm-hmm. Who said flowers for Algernon?
That one caught me off guard, because I was like, okay, what is that? That's not actually what it's for, right? It's like, no, it is for flowers for Algernon.
And then you have the Animus flowers, so it's like flowers for Algernon.
God,
it's very literal.
That one's like just like very like just it was a cool name we just took we rolled with it, but yeah, no.
I mean, it's a good name for a disease.
Yeah,
but you know, and then obviously the bigger, like, it has that theming, and obviously the bigger overarching thing of like the a lot of the aspects of it are made to be like the entirety of mankind and Earth is like a giant living organism, and that the Somnium are the immune system,
the antibodies, if you will, the white blood cells,
the antibodies. Yeah, they're the liver, which is why when the Better Man remove themselves from their battle forms, they're like dead liver cells.
That's crazy, because it's like, oh, that's just like a throwaway thing. It's like, no, these are livers.
Literally.
It's...
And that the thing with Ultraman Ultus at the very end is hinted at by Asami herself when she says that thing about the liver being one of the only organs in the body that can all basically infinitely regenerate.
Yeah, like, that was crazy too, because I felt like it would come back. I didn't realize that it was, like, I assume, like, oh, yeah, they're just explaining Better Man. It's like, no, they're not. They were explaining the opposite of the Best Man. Do you want to talk about the Best Man now?
No. I want to say something. By the way, that is true. That's not science bullshit.
That's just what...
That thing about the liver.
This was fact-checked by true Somnium Patriots.
No, this is true. Like, okay.
No.
You want to hear something fucking...
I know it should be. I'm just...
No. You want to hear something wild, Jake? What? Okay, so you could remove basically like 2/3 of your liver and there would only be like a small piece of it left, right, for like a liver transplant. Mm-hmm. And then within 6 weeks, your entire liver would grow back.
No.
I'm not joking.
That's awesome. Are you
It is. It's fucking wild.
saying that everyone has a better man inside of them?
Yes.
Whack.
Yes, I am.
Cool. That's bullshit, but I believe it.
It's a fact. It's something I found out, honestly, during the stuff with my dad because of the he had a hepatitis. I found out a lot about the liver because of that. Kind of wild that it came up again watching this fucking anime that I have a connection to.
Jeez, that's
No, but you know, the best men, the fact that like the final antagonist is cancer.
oh, my fucking God. Okay. So, I should preface by saying that before watching the show, I told you this like numerous times. I want the audience at home to know how like I got spoiled on the show unintentionally. There's a SpongeBob meme out there that I'm not gonna say what exactly it is, but if there's a SpongeBob meme out there that just tells you how the main villain was made, that is just oh yeah, it's not just cancer, it's super cancer. It's fucking super cancer, and it like w was done by one of the most idiotic fucking blunders in the history of mankind for the sake of mankind. An actual you done goofed moment on proportionate scales that led to the creation of the best man, Cancer, aka, as the show calls it, Kankeru, or Kanked, which I thought was like, oh, what's Kankeru? Is that supposed to be like some kind of like, oh, what is this? What is this? And then I realized, oh, that's just the transliteration of cancer. If you just put the hard
Yeah.
consonants. Fuck. But yeah, all the goofy stuff aside, like, Kanka is really fucking scary.
Oh
No,
yeah,
doubt,
absolutely.
yes. Like, thank you for telling us that cancer is scary, Bear Man. But I mean, like, the way they portray it as, like, just this silhouette. Everything goes dark, and you just see this weird, like, it's a 2D show. This is the
Androgynous
androgynous, like, almost
figure.
like 2D outline. Like, it's a 2D world, but, like, feels like Flatland. It reminds me of the book Flatland, where it's like you're seeing something you're not supposed to fucking see by virtue of it's not supposed to be like recognized by a regular. It's just so weird, so alien, and it doesn't even have like until like the end where it starts like just sort of fighting. Like it doesn't really fight or have like real attacks. It just does something to Somniums and they just turn to goop. That's it. It
Yeah,
doesn't. It doesn't.
it invades their cells and destroys them like cancer.
Completely, like just and instantly, it's the like the visual for it is so fucking weird, and
Yeah,
it's it just comes out of nowhere. It comes out, I don't say it comes out of nowhere, but like it for most of them, it's like oh yeah, Algernon, worms, shit like that. It's like okay, corporeal, creepy, but like corporeal. This is something that is like uninvolved and is a threat to the guys that are supposed to deal with threats. Like
Yeah, because it's cancer.
and it's like it's crazy. It's crazy that it's just cancer. And it's like you think, okay, well, but and it's like, no, but here's what it does.
Yeah, and the reason that they created it is because, like, so they mention a lot about the different types of amino acids with the better men and how they're able to change one amino acid to another amino acid, and certain amino acids can cell divide. For those who just as like a this is an education corner for all of you. For those who don't know what cancer actually like is like a disease. So basically, in our bodies, our cells are constantly dividing, constantly cloning themselves, etc., etc. There's a whole thing about it. Like you, by like a certain point in time, you do not have any more of your original cells anymore. It's like a Ship of Theseus situation. But these cells can only divide so many times. And then what happens is that sometimes due to external forces like solar radiation, chemicals, carcinogens, whatever, impurities begin to form within the cells, and mutations start to form within these cells. And then these mutated cells that are not supposed to be in the body continue to replicate because that is what cells do. And then these continuously replicating cells devour and destroy all other cells. And that is what cancer is. And then in an effort, the Dive Project was in an effort to basically do, like they talked about
the dive inspection, yeah, like that. So just sort of like quick...
They created super cancer.
Super cancer. Patsy, did you make sure they were liver cells and not cancer cells? No. Fuck.
We wouldn't make the mistake. We'd make the mistake of using cancer cells. Proceeds to use cancer
that
cells.
That is the fact that that is the. But sir, don't you know what that sounds like? That sounds like cancer cells. Like we wouldn't do that. Everyone say like, nah, we got this, and then they fuck it up so bad. They fuck it up so bad. They fucking make a pandemic by accident.
Now that's one thing. The one twist that I'm like, I'm not the biggest fan of is that, like, Asami is the source of Algernon.
That one's weird. I think of it more... That was weird, and I also got confused, because what I thought what Algernon was just, like, fucking geostigma, but not in, like, a thing causes it. More of, like, oh, yeah, because you have introduced the whole fucking world to super cancer, the fucking, I don't know, counterforce, whatever you want to call it, the Earth itself has just said, oh, fuck, and everyone's fucking fight or flight has activated to the point where they're all going crazy, and that's Algernon. And it's like, no, just five motherfuckers got too close, seven young kids went camping for the summer, and all that.
If, like, she is the source of Algernon, and the head of Moniwart knew it, and it's like, but then what was the fucking point of literally anything you guys were doing?
Yeah, wait, does that... Yeah, that means that everyone in fucking Akamatsu has Algernon. We know this.
They don't necessarily do. Like, just because she spreads it doesn't necessarily mean you'll get it.
Oh.
But...
So the fucking...
You know.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, what dictates who has and who doesn't? Like, when I act, I...
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking about that. I was like, oh, it's like, ha, it's so fucked up. But as the payoff to that plot line of, oh, no, it was your fault, it's kind of, eh.
Yeah, it's like, actually kind of dumb.
It's kind of just melodramatic. It's kind of like cliche is what it is. It's very cliche.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. That's the one thing I'll say that, like, I unironically think is just bad.
I think the idea was, I think the problem was that they wanted to hammer in, it's your fault, but she already knew she made super cancer, so they were like, oh yeah, by the way, the other fucking super disease thing, yeah, that was actually you. You are Algernon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that.
It's really dumb. But, I mean, all the other stuff that happened cool. Like, I mean, also, like, what the fuck was up with, like, oh, by the way, the other plot twist that comes out of nowhere, even though it was hinted at, is like, by the way, Keita has, like, the brain of this other person that was never mentioned up until now.
Fans of Gal Gaigar may know that this character is the mother of it. Who fucking cares? It's such a fucking weird... That's a worse... I hate that one more than the Asami twist, or like the Modi Warp twist, because, mm-hmm. like... Fucking it just comes out of nowhere. It also happens right after the fucking seven dolphins and Kakuseijin. So I'm like, it's watching that, like, in a span, like, it happened all at once. Is like, huh, what? Oh, sure, they tease it, but you don't even realize it's supposed to be that because of how vague it is. It feels last minute. Like, the Algernon thing, I think I could agree, you could at least argue it was some kind of build-up, it's just shitty payoff. This is just out of nowhere. Keita has a woman's brain, half a woman's brain in him, so... The fucking trans rights Keita? Question mark? Maybe? No? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird.
It's weird.
Just means you could, it is cool that, like, if you have a brain transplant, I guess you could pilot caucus. I don't know. You could pilot a neuronoid.
A neuronoid. Like, you have to have the brain material of another a dual kind, essentially.
I think the thing before the episode with the Tyrion was much cooler.
Oh yeah,
that was more interesting, sure. Because of like, oh, that's how. Oh, so it can get any kind of brain material. I see.
Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that, like, I kind of want to know if this is going to come up in the fucking Hokkaido with the fucking the Kaede Yanagi baby. If that's going to come back in the sequel manga.
You mean Cable? You mean Nathan Summers?
I mean, he survived, clearly, because Shandy found him at the
that
end.
That kid is going to have fucking, like, actual superpowers. That kid is, like, loaded on fucking... Born mm-hmm. in fucking, what was the fucking juice called? What was the fucking, the stuff they put their hands in, the goop?
Oh, the linker gel.
The fucking born in linker gel, raised by a fucking, by just a, like a mutant, has double fucking Esper powers. That kid is fucking, like a 10th level fucking intellect. That kid is, Or what do they call the danger level for X-Men? Like the super fucking psychics. Mm-hmm. That kid is. I have not finished that manga either. I'd be shocked if they just don't do anything with that.
I mean, also it's not okay. Let's for those who don't know, who have any interest in both this series and Gaugaugar. Originally, there was going to be a sequel series called Gaugaugar vs. Better Man. It was going to be an anime. It was called Hokkaido Gaugaugar versus Betterman, Betterman versus Gaugaugar. It was going to be a crossover. It was going to be an anime, but then it became a light novel. And then that light novel was later adapted by a fan into a webcomic / manga.
It's cool. It's neat. It's a thing that I think has more value if you're someone who watched both these shows separately.
Oh, yeah.
And then a few years later, you see them, because it's a bunch of returning characters. A lot of wish fulfillment, but I like it because fuck it, everyone's here. Smash Brothers style characters. Because the problem is more that just because of how limited the it's just these two shows. It's a lot of oh yeah, and by the why X the bus driver? Why was this person know this person? How come everybody just knows everybody here?
Yeah, I mean the Akamatsu and Triple G being sister
makes sense.
Companies that makes sense. That does make sense. And then trying to, like, combining the neuronoid technology with the Triple D technology is really cool.
It is sick, and again, one of the coolest fucking first chapters ever, because the fucking Gaugaigo.
Gaugaigo!
It has the fucking Kakusage, it has the fucking, the brake synthesizer. It's
honestly just cool, for me. I haven't read a lot of it, but like reading that manga and be like, "Oh my god, my girl Hinoki is all grown up." Like, you know, seeing these characters again and them older, it's kind of cool.
She's all grown up and she's marrying the middest man in fiction.
I mean, listen, you can't. He's a pervert, but like, you can't hate on the man because like he got shit done. He did his best.
He got shit done, and like, look. If I got told about the seven dolphins in Kakusage and half my brain was a fucking transplant, and I was like, fuck it, I'll save my boo. Fuck, that's kind of hard. Go, whatever.
He finds out about that, gets in the robot, and then punches cancer.
He did punch cancer.
He did.
Fuck, wait, he did punch cancer.
Yeah, he did. He said, I'm going to punch the physical manifestation of cancer.
Hey, ancient fucking being who dwarfs my comprehension, eat a dick.
Okay, hold on. I think that's the name of the episode. Punching the physical manifestation of cancer.
Yeah, pretty much. Something like that.
Punch the physical manifestation of cancer is the title of the episode. There were quite a few that could have been the episode, honestly. Not, the seven dolphins inside the conversation.
Psycho piss. We didn't even talk about fucking psycho piss and rip jaws.
Me pissing into the pool. Psycho fluid.
Psycho fluid.
Oh boy,
Fucking deep.
psycho
Yeah,
fluid.
this show is, I want to say it's all over the place, but I feel like it's also like intentionally like that. Or it adds to the charm.
Yeah.
I can see the fun of watching this week to week as like live on TV and going, what the fuck is gonna happen next?
Yeah, I'd say for like objectively speaking, I think it's like a six or like a six maybe. But if you are really into like how batshit insane and like wild it is, like I think it's like a seven or an eight, you
Yeah,
know? Like if you're really into it,
and
you know?
rudimentary, just like biology lessons or some more obscure things, and seeing like, hey, here's how some of these powers could actually manifest, and they're pretty practical. It's goofy, but it's kind of practical.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, just
It is
what the
nice.
race.
And I
As
got it. I'll
I
just go.
say, and also, yeah, one of the most insane like dichotomies between openings and endings. Because I wanted to sort of talk about this, and the real reason why I watched the show is because I was shown by my lovely co-host the opening and ending for this show. The opening and ending for if you didn't know any better, you'd think they were swapped. You think it's like a misnomer, like, oh no, this is not how the show starts and how it ends. It's like, no, starts off with fucking Windows Vista screensaver, ends with the sickest fucking ending like scene of all time, sung by the fucking by the director of the show, who used a
Yeah.
pseudonym because fuck you reasons. He sung it live once at like a event, and he was dressed up as fucking one of the characters, and he just it's I just listen to it. If nothing else, watch the show for the opening and the ending because of how fucking weird they are.
Oh yeah. For sure. But it is nice watching this, like I said or at the beginning, it's nice watching this show with somebody else and them being like, yeah, no, actually, you're right. I get why you like this show. You
I
know?
get how you can run a JoJo RPG and go, I know what to do, and then be a fan of this show. It has like that same kind of like, this is not how things work. It's like, actually, you see, this is actually true. Here is the scientific explanation for this, and it's the most insane thing ever, but it's true,
Oh yeah.
somewhat.
There's a lot of JoJo logic in this show.
But it's good JoJo logic. It's like, you know what? Fuck it. They tried.
Fuck it. They tried.
Until the actual magic shows up. Because there's actual fucking magic in
Until the actual for real, like the fucking monk shooting fucking chakra psychic energy beams.
God, I've.
Like I meant what I said, that there's like three different shows stitched together. Oh man. But I think that's it. We're almost like it's like a what half hour, 40 minutes, yeah, for this.
Yeah, there's not. I think the problem is like just like there's not much really else to say, but also it's enjoyable. I'm glad if anything that I watch this because I would have just slept on it completely, thinking, oh, it's just whatever. So this it yeah. I want to say it's a seven to me. I'll agree with you on that. It's a seven, but a better seven than say, like earlier I was thinking like Braverman was bad. I liked watching this show more than I did watching like seasonal stuff at the time. So that's gotta count for something, right? They don't make it like they used
Yeah,
to. They
absolutely.
don't make shows like this.
Oh no, it is such a wild fucking show, and it is worth it just to honestly just see actually how bat shit insane and weird it is. Like it's so its era, you know? It of its time, and it's kind of cool. And honestly, these kinds of shows and animated things are like one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast is like talk about things that like are worth talking about, but not a lot of people might have heard of. You know? But anyway, that's the show. Hope you enjoyed. Really, I don't use Twitter anymore, so if you want to get in touch, check us out on Tumblr, Acme Podcast Inc. at tumblr.tumblr.com. And then you can get in touch with me on Tumblr at kaiju-emperor if you want to send an ask. Please, I love getting asks on the podcast Tumblr because it's nice just to have fan interaction.
I'll do the same because I do not care for after-war Twitter X, the just mid-social media site as is now. That's getting worse and worse by the day, if I'm being really honest. So I'm going to say my Tumblr as well, which is jankjunkjpeg. Oh, wait, no. Ah, fuck, was that? No, that, sorry. Jankjunkjpeg.
That's Blue Sky.
That's Blue Sky. Yeah, the hip and happen thing, that's... It's there. My Tumblr is, I think it's, jank, jank, jank. Just the word jank, lowercase, three times on tumblr.com. I don't think my ask box is open, but if you want to throw me a parcel packet, a little pigeon note saying how much you like me talking about things with my funny co-host or my desire to say stupid podcast titles, feel free to.
All right. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope to see you sometime again soon. Don't be a jackass. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shouri, 生まれ変わる